our objective remains containment.
A possible timeline for containment of the coronavirus spread. This is Wednesday, February 12th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Also coming your way, you will hear from someone who's traveled from Wuhan to the United States and remains under quarantine here. The Philippines says it's withdrawing from a major security agreement with the United States. It's all coming your way on today's VOA Asia. As the death toll from the new coronavirus outbreak exceeds 1,000 people, the top two health officials in central China's Hubei province, the epicenter of the outbreak, have been removed from their posts. Chinese state media reported Tuesday that Zhang Jin, the Communist Party boss of Hubei's Provincial Health Commission, and Liu Xinji, the commissioner's director, have been dismissed. The World Health Organization officially named the virus COVID-19 on Tuesday, one day after WHO chief Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus said the spread of coronavirus between people who had no history of travel to China could be the spark that becomes a bigger fire. VOA's Mirana Diallo reports this past weekend brought with it some worrying statistics.
Chinese Health Commission Sunday reported 97 deaths from the coronavirus, the largest number in a single day. And it has now killed more people than the SARS epidemic about 18 years ago. Dr. Sylvie Briand of the World Health Organization.
How many people are have mild disease? It's around 80%. How many people are of a severe disease, mostly a pneumonia that requires hospitalization? From the latest data, it's around 15%. And also, it's around also 3 to 4% of people who will need, 3 to 5% of people will need intensive care. So what will make a difference in terms of mortality is really the underlying condition of the patient.
And there are new concerns about the virus transmission in France and Britain from people with no travel history to China.
The detection of this small number of cases could be the spark that becomes a bigger fire. But for now, it's only a spark. Our objective remains containment.
Meanwhile, nearly a week into quarantine on the Diamond Princess off the coast of Japan, about 140 cases of coronavirus have been confirmed on the ship. Among those infected, 23 Americans, including Rebecca Fraser.
You never think that something like this is going to happen when you're just on vacation, living life.
In the same ship, an Australian family passes the time.
I know some other families who because they've got separate rooms with kids, are unable to see their kids. And we're all together. We can see each other. We know we're all safe. So.
They have been confined to their cabin on the quarantine ship for a week.
We've been doing a bit of stretching and exercise in the room just to make sure that, we're keeping a bit healthy. We've got reading. We've got movies to watch. The kids are doing a lot of social media stuff with friends, chatting with friends.
Meanwhile, in China's Hubei province, the center of the outbreak, millions remain under lockdown and people are complaining of food shortages. Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
The U.S. State Department said Tuesday it will permit non-essential employees and their families to voluntarily leave the U.S. consulate in Hong Kong out of an abundance of caution related to uncertainties about the coronavirus. The State Department made similar announcements last month for diplomatic staff in Chinese cities, including Beijing and China. U.S. consular employees were ordered last month to leave Wuhan, the capital of Hubei province. Britain declared the virus a serious and imminent threat to public health after reporting 4 new cases Monday, bringing the number of confirmed British cases to 8. Health Minister Matt Hancock's declaration gives the government more power to isolate people to keep the virus from spreading. China's central bank is making $43 billion available to help businesses involved in fighting the epidemic. U.S. President Donald Trump said Monday he expects the coronavirus outbreak to disappear in April because of the warmer weather. The heat, generally speaking, kills this kind of virus, he said. Health experts say the spread may ease in warm weather when people get out of doors and are not in such close contact with each other. But this is a new strain of coronavirus, and some of the experts believe it is too soon to say if spring and summer will kill it off. We continue now in VOA Asia. There are Zumba and boxing classes, lectures on business and taxes, and chalk art outside for the children. While it might sound like a local recreation center's offerings, it's actually part of daily life for 195 American citizens quarantined on a military base after being evacuated from the heart of the new virus outbreak in China. The cluster of American consular officials, business people, and families with children were whisked out of the city of Wuhan on a U.S. chartered plane last week. Since then, they formed their own community while waiting to be released from a 14-day federal quarantine order designed to limit the spread of the virus. VOA's Mandarin service was able to speak with two of the people who remained in quarantine at the California military base. Priscilla Dickey and her daughter were working in Wuhan, Priscilla was, and were able to get out on a U.S. charter flight. Not only were they put in quarantine in California, but had been under a quarantine in Wuhan. VOA's Adriana Zhang asked Priscilla about what people in Wuhan thought of their restrictions.
I think that most people are accepting it because it's one way to keep people from traveling a lot. At this point, the virus is affected so many people that they need to be doing something in order to keep people safe and in their houses. Is it fair to those that live there? Yeah, yes and no. They can't really move around, but at the same time, they all understand why. It's not like they're just doing it because. There's a reason. They're trying to keep people safe and away from this virus and trying to contain it. Overall, I'm satisfied by, that we're back. We were able to get back. The one thing that I would like to see in the future is just more communication between us and the embassy. The embassy was closed. The embassy was closed for the holiday during all of this. So our only option was to call and get transferred to the U.S. Section of the foreign affairs offices. And their only suggestion was an email to the embassy. And you don't know how long, an hour is until you're waiting for an email that will tell you whether or not you're on a flight out of, a epidemic.
Priscilla Dickey, she spoke with VOA Mandarin Service reporter Adriana Zhang. The Philippines says it is withdrawing from a major security agreement with the United States. Foreign Secretary Teodoro Loxin Jr. announced Monday in a tweet that he had sent a notice of termination of the Visiting Forces Agreement, the VFA, to the Deputy Chief of Mission of U.S. Embassy in Manila, following through on an order made by President Rodrigo Duterte. The Visiting Forces Agreement, signed in 1998, allows for U.S. forces on Philippine soil to conduct military exercises and humanitarian missions in the region. VOA's Steve Miller spoke about this with Derek Grossman, Senior Defense Analyst for the RAND Corporation.
And the VFA really is kind of like the nuts and bolts of the Mutual Defense Treaty that was signed between the U.S. and the Philippines in 1951, and it's meant to help defend the Philippines against attack. And so by not having the ability for U.S. troops to move freely into the Philippines, to operate there and to move military equipment into the Philippines, it makes it much more difficult for the U.S. to make good on its obligations under the Mutual Defense Treaty. So, frankly, it's a pretty big win for China when you're thinking about how the U.S. and the Philippines should be working together within the context of the Indo-Pacific strategy to counter what China is doing in the South China Sea.
What kind of impact, you know, on a long-term scale does essentially the nuts and bolts being ripped out from it have?
Yeah, I mean, so the Mutual Defense Treaty itself will still exist, but it will be hollowed out in the sense that the U.S. will not be able to support the commitments it made under that Mutual Defense Treaty. And so, I mean...
Is it just a treaty in name only then?
It could be, because the U.S. would not have the wherewithal to help defend the Philippines if it's attacked. And so, I mean, you can go back and look at when Secretary of State Mike Pompeo visited the Philippines last year. The Filipinos were really looking for reassurance that the U.S. is standing by its commitments under the MDT. And Pompeo gave them that. But there's still a lot of concerns within the Duterte government, of course, with Duterte himself saying, like, hey, we can't depend on the United States because look what happened in 2012. Chinese came by Scarborough Shoal and took it away from us. And the U.S. didn't react at all. And so how can we depend on the U.S. going forward? So I think overall the security alliance is in jeopardy with Duterte at the helm. But that said, Duterte is only there until 2022. And he has lots of folks around him, particularly in the Filipino defense establishment, that are strongly advising against making these types of provocative moves within the security relationship with the United States. And so I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, look, there's 180 days in which the VFA is still going to be around. And if there's no mutually acceptable conclusion between the United States and the Philippines, then it will expire. But I think 180 days, it's still 6 months away. A lot can happen. I mean, there's a report out there saying that Trump and Duterte are going to have a phone call at some point. And so I wouldn't be surprised if they can try to reconcile over the phone.
Does canceling the VFA, if it goes through, or even just mentioning that, hey, this is our intent, does that send a message about the Philippines and the United States alliance to the rest of the world?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think China can certainly claim victory that it is loosening the screws on yet another U.S. alliance in Asia. I mean, you see what's going on between the U.S. and South Korea, for example, and how there's lots of disagreements in that relationship over how to deal with North Korea, and then of course dealing with the burden sharing issue. How much is South Korea going to pay to maintain the alliance, to maintain U.S. troops in on the peninsula? Same thing is going on with Japan in some respects. And so, I mean, this is another example in which China can say, we're doing a good job, because Duterte came to Beijing, met with Xi Jinping, and he seems like he needs more Chinese assistance than less, and he wants to distance himself from the U.S. And so that's from Beijing's perspective, trying to get U.S. troops out of Asia long term. I mean, they're on a good footing, unfortunately, to be able to accomplish that.
Derek Grossman, senior defense analyst for the RAND Corporation, talking with VOA Steve Miller. President Duterte of the Philippines has repeatedly threatened to quit the VFA since taking office in 2016, most recently in January, after Washington canceled the visa of Senator Ronald De La Rosa. De La Rosa was the Philippines' national police chief when Duterte began his deadly anti-drug campaign that was condemned by the international community and human rights group for the indiscriminate killings of suspected drug dealers. You have been listening to VOA Asia. Remember to get our program on iTunes and SoundCloud. Download our podcast. Take VOA Asia with you. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to our director, Tracy Carter, our engineer, Rob McLean, our managing editor, Diane Gao, and the VOA Asia team of Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, and Doug Bernard. I'm Ira Melbourne in Washington. Enjoy the day ahead.